continuing today with what we've entitled the battle cry of Galatians. This is part four. And today's sermon focus is on chapter one of the book of Galatians. But before we get into the body of the message, I'd just like to remind us all of the tremendous love God has for each of us. Indeed, His love towards us is immeasurable. We are each special and precious vessels in His sight. And it's this deep and personal relationship of God's love for His creation that I believe motivated the Apostle Paul to write with so much passion to the church of Galatia. Paul defends the gospel message he had previously shared with his friends in Galatia, for it had come to his attention that false teachers were infiltrating the church with the sole purpose of stealing away their newfound faith. Indeed, Paul could identify with these false teachers, for he himself had previously walked in their shoes. In the days before Paul had encountered the resurrected and ascended Christ, whilst travelling along the road to Damascus, the then Saul of Tarsus could only say that he knew about God. But now, as a transformed apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, he could now proclaim boldly that he not only knew about God, but that he now knew God personally. For you see, Jesus had spoken with him. And it's Paul's eyewitness testimony, combined with the eyewitness testimonies of many other faithful men of God, that enables us to not only know about God, but more importantly, assists us in wanting to seek and find the living God. And friends, He can be found. I know God, for Jesus has revealed Himself personally to me, for He indwells me with His Holy Spirit. And it's an indwelling, I might add, that constantly reassures me, and it should reassure every Christian, of God's immense love for His creation. Now, if there were ever a time in the history of the world for God's church to resurrect and digest the Apostle Paul's written diatribe, his tirade, his polemic to the church of Galatia, that is, his attack upon certain wolves in sheep's clothing, upon people committed to perverting the course of the gospel message, people determined to see faith in Jesus Christ destroyed everywhere, people committed to being stumbling blocks at the feet of Christians worldwide, then today has to be that day. Never before in the annals of time has there arisen so many voices demanding social, moral, and religious compromise. Never before have we witnessed so many people condemning the faithful in Christ. Never before has there arisen such a crescendo of voices brazenly mocking our God, the Creator of all things. Family, we ought to feel sorry for and to pray for these detractors, for they have become pawns, indeed naive victims, and gullible agents of the forces of darkness. Whereas in the days of the Apostle Paul, there were at most one, maybe two detractor groups preaching another gospel, as Paul puts it. But in today's world, There are hundreds, if not thousands, of detractor groups, each with different motives, yet all with the same agenda. An agenda that wants to see the faithful in Christ abandon their life-saving gospel message and embrace and follow another gospel. These false teachers want the church to see the world through their eyes. They want us to think the way they think. They want us to do the things they do, to dishonour Christ and blaspheme His Holy Spirit, to live faithless lives like them. So what are some of these faithless temptations the Christian church faces? What are some of the ultimate gospel messages that the world wants us to seize upon whilst disowning the importance of Jesus Christ in our lives? Well, for starters, they want us to put our consciences aside and agree to redefining marriage. I like what Sarah Jensen said recently. She says this: as Christians, we believe marriage is not a human invention. Our view is that marriage is a fundamental order of creation. Good on Sarah Jensen. Furthermore, the world wants us to accept that God made more than just two genders. They want us to compromise our faith by embracing the teachings of all religions and to do it through what they call ecumenical communication or dialogue. Don't you Christians realise that all roads lead to God? Not just through Jesus Christ. They want us to eat food sacrificed to idols and to do it without complaining. Foods such as halal food, which you'll find is difficult to avoid in your supermarkets. They want us to focus all our attention on saving the planet through daily climate change initiatives and rituals. They want us to trust science without question and only read the Word of God in the light of so-called scientific truth. They want us to accept the practice of euthanasia as a merciful act of humanity. To think that there are some in our world now brazenly advocating infanticide. That is, the killing of children up to the age of 10. It's just unthinkable. They want us to believe that a child never becomes human until the moment it's born. Consequently, they want us to believe that large-scale abortion on demand should be considered normal practice in a civilized society. After all, it's only a piece of tissue. That's why we call it a fetus. So much for the unborn John the Baptist in the Gospel of Luke, leaping for joy in his mother Elizabeth's womb when Mary, carrying the yet unborn Jesus, came to visit Elizabeth. So much for that. The list of compromise goes on and on. And so, what should we be doing, we Christians, in response to all these expectations? Even though some of these people may hate us, Jesus tells us too in Matthew 5 verse 44, love your enemies. Yes, that's what it says. It's a toughie. Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. That's what the Creator of the world tells us His followers to do. Now please, I do not want you to misunderstand my message here this morning. There are still many, many good people in this world doing and achieving many, many good things, yet they they don't call themselves Christians. Still, from my understanding of Scripture, no one can, with sincerity, do anything good unless that goodness comes down from heaven from the Father of light. You see, it's impossible. It's just that these good people fail to embrace a God consciousness whereby they might praise the Lord for the good that they do. And because they choose not to dwell under the shadow of the Almighty, they too are easily influenced by the flood of propaganda designed by man's greatest enemy to manipulate them into believing a lie. Has God reserved these so-called good people for a good end or for a bad end? It's a good question, don't you think? Let me say this. In 2 Peter 3 verse 9, it tells us, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Did that say all or just some? Yeah. When I read that scripture in the light of Matthew chapter 25, please do some homework and read chapter 25 of Matthew, I suspect God has reserved a destiny, albeit a different destiny to that of the church, for those so-called good people. Now, does that mean I'm now advocating no need to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour? Absolutely not. The duty of every Christian saint is to share the good news of Jesus in the hope that those who hear might repent today. Anything short of that promise of amazing grace falls far short of God's plan for those in his church. Remember, to the church, God grants heirship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and as sons of God, we will rule and reign with him over the kingdom of God for how long? Forever. Hallelujah. Now that's a crown of glory not to be sneered at. That's a crown of glory not to be sneered at. Friends, the darkness that is beginning to spread quickly over our world is beginning to identify Christians as the problem makers here on earth, no longer solution bearers. And the irony of it all is that it's the world that's shifted its outlook on life, not the Christians. Talk about hypocrisy. Yes, the world is beginning to accuse Christians as being the enemies of free speech. They brand us as unreasonable, intolerant, and insensitive. They call us racist, bigots, sexist, and wait for it, homophobic. They expect us to compromise on everything we believe in. Yet they themselves are blinded to their own intolerance and bigotry toward the godliness of the Christian soul. They don't want us to love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind and strength. They don't want us to be obedient to God in any way. But they do want us to toe the line and to get with their program. Yet it's the gospel message of Jesus Christ that teaches Christians, and everyone else for that matter, to love one another unconditionally. Yet that doesn't imply we must agree with the world's lifestyle choices. after all. Christians are to be the light to the world so that those in darkness might also find the life-saving grace of Christ. Sadly, however, the days are also upon us whereby the world is no longer prepared to simply sideline and ignore the voice of the Christian church. They want us silenced forever. And it appears they may even contemplate violence against the church in order to achieve their goals. We only have to reflect on the incident in Charleston, USA, 2 days ago, when a young man, filled with hatred in his heart, shot dead 9 Christian brothers and sisters, our brothers and sisters, as they participated in a Bible study inside their own church. But what a powerful moment it was, I hope you've seen it on TV, when across the globe, family and friends of the victims extended forgiveness to this young murderer and invited him to repent. What a powerful moment that was. I tell you, family, that's the sort of stuff that tugs on the heartstrings, even of the hardest heart. Friends, the days are upon us when the world will act in an effort to silence Christians worldwide so that they might accelerate the preaching of another gospel. What Paul was talking about in the book of Galatians. Yet, this other gospel, Paul tells us, is not another gospel at all. Let me encourage every believer in Christ that in these last days, the only plumb line of truth remains the Word of God, as recorded in the 66 books of our Bible. If you are not reading, pondering, and meditating upon the Word of God regularly, allow me to warn you. You are vulnerable to the lies of another gospel. You could be easy picking for the enemy. Christian family, we need each other more than ever before. More than ever before. Now, chapter 1 of the book of Galatians warns us that there is no other gospel, no other truth, and those who preach against God's word, well, let them be accursed, says the Apostle Paul. Allow me to encourage you with the words of Jesus from John 16, 20 and 23. As we live out these final days of trial and tribulation and the lead up to Christ's second coming, this is what Jesus tells us. I tell you truly that you are going to be both sad and sorry while the world is glad. Yes, you will be deeply distressed, but your pain will turn into joy. When a woman gives birth to a child, she certainly knows pain when her time comes. Yet as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers her agony for joy, because a man has been born into the world. What a time of great joy. In fact, this morning I have been told that Deborah's brothers become a grandfather for the first time at the birth of a little boy. What joy there is in our family today. Jesus goes on to say, now you are going through pain, but I shall see you again and your hearts will thrill with joy. The joy that no one can ever, ever, ever take away from you. Again, let me encourage you, John 14, 23 to 27. Jesus said, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and he will come unto him, and we will make our abode with him. He that loves me not, keeps not my sayings. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. Whatsoever I have said unto you, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives, not the peace that the world is proposing, no, the peace of God, the peace of Jesus Christ, that's the peace I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Children of God, our hearts need not be troubled nor afraid as we walk in the midst of these darkening days, for God promises never to leave us nor forsake us. I want to read some of Psalm 118 to you. Now, this is the psalm to which the Jewish children resorted as Jesus rode into Jerusalem, presenting himself to them as their Messiah. Remember they sang Hosanna? Okay, this is the psalm. You also need to remember that only 40 years later, after Jesus was crucified, Jerusalem was ransacked and thousands of Jews would be killed. Here's the psalm. Let all who fear the Lord repeat, his faithful love endures forever. In my distress I prayed to the Lord, and the Lord answered me and set me free. The Lord is for me, so I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me? The Lord is my strength and my song. He has given me victory. Songs of joy and victory are sung in the camp of the godly. The strong right arm of the Lord has done glorious things. The strong right arm of the Lord is raised in triumph. I will not die. Instead, I will live to tell what the Lord has done. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. When you leave here today, then blessed are you who goes forth in the name of the Lord. Friday last week, former Deputy Prime Minister Mr. John Anderson was quoted in the Brisbane Courier Mail newspaper as having said, "We are living in a cut flower society. We have cut ourselves off from the planet that grew us and the soil that nurtured us." And how true it is. The world has become so proud, so headstrong, so cold-hearted, so greedy, so cruel, so self-centered, so determined to do things its own way, that it's cut itself off from its origins. And as with anything that is cut from its source, it eventually dies. If the rulers of this world, those who are in positions of influence at all levels of society, from the very lowest to the very highest, if these people remain resolute to continue speaking against the Lord and his anointed, if they remain determined to wipe away the memory of God from all minds, then God will have no choice but to label them stumbling blocks. Stumbling blocks to those who are reserved as heirs of salvation. I tell you, friends, these people are in peril of eternal damnation. Do not be a stumbling block to others in your Christian walk. The Apostle Paul uses chapter 1 of the book of Galatians to emphasize to his readers that he himself had previously been one of John Anderson's cut flowers of society. I think we've all been there, true? Paul writes in Galatians 1:13 and 14, "For you have heard of my former conduct in the Jewish religion, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. And I profited in the Jewish religion, but beyond many of my equals or contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my father or my fathers. In other words, Paul admits that he had been so proud, so headstrong, so cold-hearted, so greedy, so cruel, so self-centered, so determined to do the things he wanted to do, that in writing to the Galatians, he realized that at one time, he too had cut himself off from his origin. That is, the God who created him. The God he was at that time purporting to represent. Cut off. But then, this is the bit. If you've been listening to nothing up to this point, this is where we've got to tune in. But then, at an appointed time, Paul had an encounter with Jesus Christ. An encounter that would change his life forever. And this is what Paul writes in Galatians 1 verse 15. But even before I was born, you could write your own name in here, surely. Before I was even born, God chose me and called me by his marvelous grace. Then it pleased him to reveal his son to me so that I would proclaim the good news about Jesus to the Gentiles. What a powerful statement. Surely we who sit here today have got to be glad about that. Yes? Hallelujah. What about a hallelujah? Again? Hallelujah! That's right. That's good. Because you see, we fit into that same mold. Paul continues, when this happened, I did not rush out to consult with any human being, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to consult with those who were the apostles before I was. Instead, I went away to Arabia, and later I returned to the city of Damascus. And then 3 years later, I went to Jerusalem to get to know the apostle Peter, and I stayed with him for 15 days. The only other apostle I met at that time was James, the Lord's brother. I declare before God that what I'm writing to you is not a lie. Paul goes to great lengths to emphasize the truth and authority that stood behind his gospel message to the church. Not just to the church at Galatia, but to the church. Paul addresses this important point in Galatians 1 verse 1 and again in 1 verses 11 and 12 when he writes, "Dear brothers and sisters, I want you to understand that the gospel message I preach is not based on mere human reasoning. I received my message from no human source." I got the message from Jesus Christ. But now Paul is saying, this Jesus I've received it from, he's no human. No one else taught me. Instead, I received it by direct revelation from Jesus Christ. Friends, God has reserved an appointed time for every man and woman on planet Earth, that they might meet with him and accept his invitation to know God and be restored to fellowship with him. Now this invitation does not come from human sources, but instead by direct revelation from Jesus Christ. For example, I might stand here this morning and speak about the glorious nature of my Lord Jesus Christ. To one listener, it may mean nothing. Water on a duck's back. But to another, it could be that supernatural encounter that I've been speaking about. In the past, some people have arrogantly dismissed God's calling. But God always knew that was going to happen. Others have embraced God's calling with various degrees of response. If you've not had such an encounter with the living God, get ready. Your day is coming. Hallelujah. In the book of Revelation, Jesus pleaded with the seventh church called Laodicea. It's a church model representing a time of apostasy. I believe we are living in that day of apostasy. This is what Jesus said. Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. Wow! What a promise! And notice, it was a promise given to those inside the church. Not just universally. Although I'm certain Jesus intended to always come in and dine with whosoever called upon the name of the Lord. Family, friends, you might consider yourself a member of a church right now. Maybe not this church, maybe any church. But in your heart of hearts, you know full well that you have never surrendered your life to Jesus Christ. Please, please accept Christ's invitation to come in and dine with you by asking him to be your Lord and Saviour before the sun sets today. Do business with God today. Friends, the one thing that no human will honestly be able to deny on the day we will all stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, irrespective of how our earthly conversation played out, the one thing we will not be able to deny is that we knew of the existence of God. All of us know, even the hardest atheist. He knows. Church family, Christian friends, there's still hope for our lost world, our lost family, and our lost friends. We just need to get on the front foot. Our responsibility is to remain on that front foot until we're called home. And to hold fast to our faith in Jesus and to pray that the Lord will open a door for the blind to see the truth, just as he has already done for many of us here in this place. And most certainly when he miraculously opened the eyes of the heathen Saul, who from that moment forward walked away from his old life and became transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit into the great Apostle Paul. The book of Galatians is a call for freedom from bondage. That's what it's about. It's a dangerous book to those who willingly remain enemies of Christ. But it's a refuge to those who seek the truth. As was Paul's concern towards the church in Galatia, my concern extends to the church here in Tenterfield, broadly speaking, not just Presbyterian. It extends also to those of the church in New South Wales, and most certainly to the church in Australia. For us, the church, not to quickly abandon the gospel we have already received as the heat is turned up. For it is being turned up. Be warned. Infiltrators will attempt to destroy our faith. In the book of Jude, Paul calls these infiltrators dangerous reefs that can shipwreck us. He calls them shameless shepherds who care only for themselves. Clouds billowing over the land without giving any rain. They're like trees in autumn that are doubly dead. Paul says that they bear no fruit, for they have been pulled up by the roots. They are like wild waves of the sea, churning up the foam of their shameful deeds. Paul says they are like wandering stars, doomed forever in the blackness and the darkness of the deep. Indeed, these people are so brazen. Family, listen to me. These people, these infiltrators, are so brazen. They will even eat with us during fellowship meals and participate when commemorating the Lord's love at times of communion. But this morning I want you to go from here encouraged by the words of the Apostle Paul, words written in the book of Galatians, and stay strong in Jesus Christ, active in fellowship and active in Bible studies, and consequently or subsequently true to his word. When we continue next week, we might take a look at chapter 2 in Galatians. How's that? Until then, my prayer for you remains from Jude 24 and 25. Unto him, that's Jesus Christ, who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To God our Saviour, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God.